dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox. And hello, SBC fans, and welcome into the final show of 2016-2017, which is show 189. I am Bruce Knox. I will introduce our other host here momentarily, but first I want to remind you that this and every SBC Sports Talk has been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Great place to have a party. No less than 17 different inflatables for rent right now, and they are located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. Open 7 days a week. Give them a call. 740-773-PLAY. That is 740-773-7529. Look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. They are our billboard sponsor for this and all of our 189 shows. And I'd like to bring in the brains behind the outfit, the guy that knows and lives and drinks and eats SVC Sports, Shane Combs. Shane, how are you?
Doing great, Bruce. I think we're in for a great show. It's hard to believe that we're sitting here this evening capping off six full seasons of SVC Sports Talk, and certainly can't thank our sponsor enough. And I'm real excited to do something that we've had some fun with a time or two in the past, where we kind of, take some different tests or give out some awards. And here, the last time we tried this, we kind of almost accidentally called them the Sports Zonies. And it kind of stuck with some fans. And it's just a fun way to recap the year. I can promise you right now that I'm going to miss some. Mm-hmm. I've been doing my homework all week and trying to think back and looking back through the website, and I'm sure there's no doubt in my mind that I'm missing some, and that's what will make some of the feedback and emails fun. But, we're going to go down through some different categories, and I'm just going to kind of brainstorm right out loud all the different thoughts that have come to my mind this week and going back and doing my homework, and then we'll kind of pick a winner. I don't know that winner will mean anything other than being the Sports Zone winner, but nonetheless, I think it'll be a lot of fun. We'll try to get started here by doing our best, since it is the last show, to answer a little bit of the feedback. I've tried really hard, Bruce, to type out some responses and email out to about four or five different people this week, knowing that I'm not going to get as much time tonight. Certainly don't want people to think I'm ignoring the feedback. It's just with this being the final show, we want to kind of get right into it and really highlight the entire year here as we put a cap on season six of SVC Sports Talk.
All right. Before we kind of get into that, I think we do want to talk a little bit about your final thoughts and feedback on a couple of things. First, on the all-league selections, any feedback, any thoughts there?
Well, I think without a doubt, the thing that's dominated a couple things on social media as well as the inbox and even face-to-face conversations would have to be the softball player of the year. A lot of people feeling like you'll have one side that feels like Newland should have won it by herself. You have another side that feels like Brown should have won it by herself. Some people, in the middle there, a little bit okay with the co, and people constantly ask me where I stand, and I know I probably have a Paint Valley bias in terms of what Newland has done in her career, and during a stretch of this year has just been phenomenal. But I think it's also important to understand that Becca Brown's put together a really impressive resume too. Mm-hmm. If I take my Paint Valley hat off for a second and understand, look, Michaela Newland's a Division I signee, and she's going to go and represent the SVC quite well. And she's not both of these young ladies aren't done yet this year. With them being separate divisions, they're both going to have a chance to pitch and hit their teams all the way to the Final Four perhaps. And I don't have a problem with the co, just because from the standpoint of Brown has a really impressive resume, too. You know, the young lady just hit, what, her 11th home run of the spring the other night. You go back to her career. She's been an SVC champion multiple times. She's won a state championship in softball. So certainly can't argue with what the coaches were doing there. I know there's going to be fans from both schools that are very, very passionate, as they should be. That's fine.
Sure.
But if I try to look at it, I know sometimes people think Co is the cop-out vote, but sometimes Co just makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah, it's appropriate because there truly is, you know, two very deserving people that, you know, when you earn a title as Specialist Player of the Year, you're going to archive those names into SVC softball history. And I don't see how you could look back 5, 6, 7 years from now and think that those two young ladies both weren't worthy. So that's just kind of where I stand on it. I think if I go down through a little bit more, some people wondering about, you know, different representation from different teams. I think what you find is, look, in baseball and softball, you know, it's possible to have some really, really elite individual players on bottom half teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look down, just one team that comes to my mind is Adena softball. You know, they don't have maybe the pitcher to compete with the top four teams, but in a lot of these matchups, we're finding that, man, Adena has some really, really good offensive players. You know, you look down through the baseball league and you look at some different guys like, you know, from, you know, the Southeasterns or the Paint Valleys or the Huntingtons or so forth. There's some good individual players. You know, they may not have the depth of pitching that a Uniota has at the top or a depth of lineup as a Zane Trace and Adena. And a lot of times what happens is you take like a Zane Trace in baseball, you know, they're probably a little bit shorted on the all-league list. But what I tried to explain to people, what can happen sometimes is you're so deep that there's just not that big a difference between, say, your third and your seventh or eighth best player. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
What happens
mm-hmm.
is, you know, another team might have an obvious second choice or a third choice where, you know, Zane Trace, you start looking at them, and if you ask seven different coaches, you know, you may get seven different answers in terms of who their third or fourth best player is. And that's not a slight on those individual kids. What it is it's a compliment to how much that team grew throughout the year, and that's what makes it sometimes really, really tough. When I made the comment, Bruce, on the show, I always love when I get quoted with the quotes in the inbox, because that tells me people are really listening. Maybe they're even rewinding and listening. but when I get quoted, I always try to take a look. And, you know, when I make the comment that the coaches in softball, baseball, whatever, pretty much get it right, I guess what I mean by that is I probably get like seven or eight people a year send things to me where they'll predict the all league or they'll give me their all league, even if it's after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And what's surprising to me is almost all the lists this year, I think the least amount of kids on the list were 14 that actually did make it. Well, to me, 14 out of 18 is pretty much getting it right. I mean, we could sit here, and especially in a baseball league like this one. Now, softball, maybe the actual cut is a little easier to make. But in baseball this year, gosh, there might have been 25, 30 kids worthy of top 18 consideration because of how deep some of our rosters were and the balance that our league was played with. So if we all agree on about 14 or 15 kids, to me, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells me that those 14 or 15 were pretty obvious. Am I saying that right? I mean, that means that we all agree that, hey, these top 14 kids right here are pretty much all league. Now, we could sit and debate forever over four more spots, especially if we're talking about 13, 14 kids. It's just like I said a second ago in the Player of the Year discussion. You know, a lot of it's going to depend on maybe if you're a parent. A lot of it's going to depend on if you're a coach or a fan or you know, maybe you've grown up with a certain family or you've coached a certain kid or you watch a certain kid play. I understand there's all sorts of those connections there. But, yeah, when it comes down to the last three spots in a sport like baseball, and you have about, say, 10, 11, 12 worthy kids, a lot of times you're just going to have to agree to disagree, but it doesn't make all league selections a bad thing. I had one person say that, oh, this is why we shouldn't have them. Well, that's kind of ignorant to me because you're basically saying that you don't want to go honor, like, you know, 30, 40, 50 kids in a particular sports season. I just, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, maybe so. We should just give out participation medals then. Perhaps. Well, anyway, that will be good stuff to continue to talk about, and I'm sure it will be talked about around the water coolers or in teachers' lounge or coaches' get-togethers and so forth for a long time. What about we had, you know, SVC tournament play this past week as well? What are your thoughts and maybe some feedback on how that's gone?
Well, people really been asking just how I feel like we can compete moving forward. And, you know, I feel like we have as good a chance as any. You know, on the baseball side, Uniota's going to play some really good teams at this stage moving forward in Division II. But you know Uniota's always going to have a chance because they have four legitimate arms that can go on a mound and compete at that level. It's just a matter of, will Uniota create enough offense against some of the elite Division II arms that they're going to start to see, but you know they're going to pitch. Adina Zane Trace coming on strong here. Both obviously have quality number one at the top. Both offensive showing some promise here and really coming on. So, you know, those three top programs in our league have kind of been there, done that. I see no reason why they won't represent us just fine. And then, gosh, there's all kinds of things to be excited about in softball. We just talked about it. You know, Westfall Paint Valley getting to split Division III, Division IV. Gosh, I think both of them are strong favorites to win district titles, and I see no reason why they both couldn't have realistic goals of going to the Final Four. And then, you know, even some track. We'll have those throughout the night mentioned in and out here. And I think there's a lot of opportunities for some state places and even some teams that are going to compete just pretty high up the list at the district and regional level. And I think it's just going to be an exciting time, even though we won't be back on SVC Sports Talk. I think the website's in for an exciting 2 or 3 weeks because I think we're going to have some teams and athletes represent us quite well on the statewide stage.
All righty. Well, fans, here we go with this year's awards. I want to remind you that in the granting of said awards, no animals were harmed. After the break, we look at incredible performances, heartbreak, and a story to remember. SVC Sports Talk Show 189, our last one of year 6, brought to you, of course, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center and a few other sponsors as well, including Crown Hill Golf Club, and they're going to sponsor the first 3 awards here. Shane, why don't you talk to us a little bit more about Crown Hill?
Absolutely. I'm actually going to try to get up there and play once this week because, as I said on a previous show, looking to plan a golf scramble this next weekend, supporting my brother's Vinton County Viking basketball program. So hopefully getting a chance to get up there and get around in this particular week, but hopefully you want to do the same, fans. It's 740-986-GOLF. Give them a call. Hope to come up and join me and play a little bit. Maybe even try to get involved in some of their scrambles. It's a great scramble course as well, and they're really, really involved in not only our league, but really across our district in terms of our high school golfers. So, again, give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's Crown Hill Golf Club.
Well, let's get into the first of what have we got here? Let's see. 3 plus – how many different awards are we handing out tonight? I'm going to make sure that we've got enough in the closet here. Let's see. We got 3 plus 3 more plus 2 more plus 3. I think that adds up to – or 1, that adds it up to about 9. So I think we've got 9 in the closet, Shane, to give away. So
okay.
I think we'll be okay. I've got the indelible marker out here to put the year on it and so forth. Of course, this is the coveted sports zony that we're going to be giving out. And our first category is performance of the year, looking at a single game or a performance. Do you want to preface any of these topics, or do you want to just – you know, us go into it and you can announce your winner and then go from there?
Well, I guess what I'm going to try to do is just try to brainstorm right out loud for the fans, so that they kind of sense what I was thinking. When I think of performance of the year, I'm looking at one particular performance. So one game, one match, one, you know, meet, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. In terms of an athlete. And I'm taking a look at just that one single performance. I started down through, and I looked at Ellis Skeens having a 41-point performance, a Braden Collins of Huntington with 39. On the track side of things, Jacob Ott with a record-setting throw. Cammy Chandler, I know, broke I think that was like a 30-year-old record. Michaela Newland going over 1,000 strikeouts and throwing a no-hitter. That was the Uniota game, and that was a phenomenal performance back on Monday, April 24th. Going down my list, you know, Dylan Swingle had some 40-point games, going over 1,000 points and over 700 rebounds, and moving up. Had one here. An interesting thing to do here, Bruce, is to go back through our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week, because mm-hmm. a lot of times those will archive at 40. I know Drake Stanforth had 311 yards and 6 touchdowns in a football game against Westfall earlier this year, and Trey Ivey just had one. He was our Athlete of the Week here this last selection, and Trey was the meat medalist, and he, boy, did he put together an impressive run out there at Southeastern. I want to say it won 3 or 4 different things, including a relay win, and yeah, it's coming off what he did there at the Ross County meet. So, you know, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot to be excited about when it comes to individual performances. Just about any of those particular performances I put down. I know I had Ricky McGill going over 40 kills in about 2 or 3 different volleyball matches. Those were certainly on my radar as well. So had about narrowed it down there to about 6-7 of them, and then I went ahead and tried to pick my winner from there.
Okay, well, without further ado, now, the SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoni for Performance of the Year goes to...
I'm going to go to that Monday, April 24th performance with Michaela Newland, pitching against Uniota, a no-hitter with 14 strikeouts, including career number 1,000. Obviously, the 14K no-hitter against a program like Uniota's is worthy enough, but I think when you throw in the career number 1,000, and you throw in the fact that that was coming in a week where she would later beat Westfall in a 10-inning game, 1-0, and she would go on to cap off a week with another shutout of Adina. She was going through a spurt there, Bruce, in the year where she was just completely unhittable, mm-hmm. Obviously not giving up a run. And as the Paint Valley offense was trying to grow, she was making it quite easy on them. You know, whenever your team just needs one run to win, it's a lot easier to go about it. So obviously some incredible basketball performances when you think of scoring 40 points in a game, or track records going down mm-hmm. that are 30, 40 years old with Ott and Chandler and so forth. Certainly worthy. I mean, goodness, my own baseball player, Drake Stanforth, maybe I'm cheating him at 300 yards, 6 touchdowns. But I just feel like this particular thing with Newland, keep in mind on the 1,000 strikeouts, and we'll go on here. Keep in mind on that, her freshman year, she shared games with Aaron Riley, and then her sophomore year got hurt. Mm-hmm. So here she's moving in right around the top 20 in the history of the state of Ohio, and probably hasn't been given the ball nearly as many times as a lot of those people in the top 20. So just an incredible performance. When I think of individual performance, that's certainly probably the one that made you take a second look.
All right. We'll move on to our next category, that being the heartbreak of the year. And this kind of explanation-wise, player or team that lost in the toughest way. Why don't you preface that for us?
Yeah, basically here, just looking sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to look at all the good side of things, and this is just a way to maybe remember some of the teams that came up just a little bit short and what was a great effort, and just to remind us a little bit about how close some of these particular things were. So I think probably the first thing that comes to my mind here, Bruce, is I go to the convo. I think of the Uniota boys losing to Vinton County there. I thought they had a really good game plan. Thought they attacked a really good Vinton County team well, and played well enough to win that game. So that had to be a disappointing finish for them when you consider all of their incredible streaks that they've been on in the league and the way they've dominated there. Heartbreak at the convo again. Paint Valley with Oak Hill. Paint Valley in complete control of that game late. They turned it over, unable to make some free throws, and then get beat on the dagger three there. They do get one opportunity to get a shot off at the buzzer to win it. But to throw a little salt in that wound, you watch in the other bracket there with Southeastern moving on, a team that Paint Valley from the league had already beaten twice. That had to even add to that a little bit, but certainly a good effort for them. And then, you know, there are several others, but the one that jumped out at me is I went back through football and I looked at week 8, week 9, and I looked at Piketon on back-to-back weeks, losing to Zane Trace 21-20, and then losing to Uniota 34-33. And you basically look at that, Bruce, and boy, could the standings have been a little bit different, you know, so and maybe the playoff picture as well. But those are probably there's another four or five on there that were eliminated. But I think I could narrow it down to those three the most and get a fair winner.
All right. So now the SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for Heartbreak of the Year goes to...
going to go to the Piketon football team. This is a team that was not on a lot of people's radar coming into the year. You go back to week 8, the Red Streaks jumped out 14-0 and still led 14-7 at halftime on the Zane Trace Pioneers. Then Berkheimer goes to Veach on the final play after Zane Trace had taken. People remember there, they take the 21-14 lead. Berkheimer hits Veach on the final play to cut the lead to 21-20. And then ZT's defense gets the game-winning stop as Piketon goes for two. There's many a people for Piketon that will tell you if the instant replay was in high school football that they would have won the game, meaning that they got in. But Berkheimer threw for 141 and a touchdown in that game. He also rushed 26 times for 85 yards and two TDs. But in the end, Zane Trace goes 21-20. And then a week later, this is when the Chillicothe Gazette roundtable that I had the great effort privilege to give some efforts to this year, really enjoyed that. We were down in Piketon leading up to the Uniota game, and a lot of playoff implications on the line and some league standing things on the line, and just a crazy game. Uniota, just to take you through a scoring summary here from the website, Uniota up 6-0, Piketon 7-6, Uniota 13-7, then Uniota's up 20-13 at the half. Then it goes 20-19 Uniota, 27-19 Uniota. The game's tied at 27, then 33-27 Piketon. and then Edler has some magic there at the end, and Robinson ends up hitting the go-ahead PAT with 14 seconds remaining. So, you know, when you look at those two losses, I guess to me, Bruce, the reason they win the award here, an award that they probably didn't want to win, that's basically the two losses here. When I look back to the football standings, it's a situation of what might have been in terms of the league and Piketon and the playoff picture and so forth. So, that's kind of where I stand with that, and I think it just reminds you that we had some parity throughout our boys sports in general this year, and week 8, week 9 of football certainly indicates that for the Piketon Red Streaks.
Okay, the category next up is Story of the Year, and this is kind of the best overall storyline in the SVC this year.
Yeah, this could be a team, or this could just be a sports story in general. As I started to look back through this, you certainly had the Southeastern boys basketball team. What they did, coming off what a 5-win season, and then they go and win a district championship. That was certainly a great story. It's hard not to look back through my notes and through some of our sports talks, and not mention SVC expansion again, and how a lot of people started to bring that up again, and the different enrollment, the different things. And, you know, what's funny about that, that was more at the beginning of the year. You come all the way back to the end of this year, and the PV, the Paint Valley Boys track team kind of squashed some of that theory. I mean, what an incredible win for them the other night. They become a huge story. That's the first Paint Valley SVC championship in a sport since I think the track team last did it in like 97, other than football, of course. So it just shows you how big a deal that is, especially in a sport that is usually enrollment driven. But obviously the Uniota boys basketball still streaking. That's certainly and, you know, Bruce, we've talked about this during the season a little bit. You know, we almost get spoiled in terms of where they're at. You know, when you think of all the different numbers climbing, you almost would forget where it's at. You know, it's a situation where without looking back, I almost forget now. What was it, 55, maybe something like that, or something close to that. It's been a long time. I think it was the 2014-15 season there at the beginning. But yeah, I mean, that certainly has to be there. And then with Dylan Swingle signing the Division One to Duquesne here this past week, you have Swingle and Newland from the same D3, D4 size high school going Division One back to back classes. That's a big deal. So those are some of the ones that certainly jump on the radar to me.
All right. So now the SVC Sports Talk Sports Zony for Story of the Year goes to.
Well, even though we overlook it a little bit, I think what we're watching here is we're watching history in the making. I think the sports story to me has to be the Uniota boys basketball team. When you look back, I think it was the 2013-14 season. They opened that year with a loss to Zane Trace on opening night. And then that year they ran off 13, and then they won 14 to push it to 27. And then I think they've won two more gold balls now. So if my math is right, that would take it up to 55.
Yeah.
And man, they show no signs of stopping when you consider the team that ended the year there having, four or five major players back. So, you know, the SVC expansion's been ongoing. The Southeastern boys basketball story was neat at the time. The Paint Valley track team is certainly an incredible feat, something that could show up in multiple categories throughout the night. So we'll still maybe highlight them a little bit. But when we start talking overall stories, this isn't a story, Bruce, it's just happening like one weekend or one. This is something that is just
ongoing,
quite frankly, nuts.
Yep.
In a sport like basketball, because, you're not talking, in terms of getting together one time a year where you're trying to win. You're talking 14 times a year, home and away. And it's just phenomenal what they've been able to do. So I would highlight the Uniota boys basketball team here.
All right. Stay with us. Up next, we talk best game, major upsets, and top team in 2016-2017 school year. Welcome back into show 189 of SVC Sports Talk as we conclude season 6. Hopefully they'll have us up on Netflix and you can go to season 6 for this. I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, this section, as we get ready to give you three more different categories for our sports zone, is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment, located at 116 East High Street in Circleville. Their phone number 740-477-9828. They are your source for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and all kinds of sports equipment. And they do service a lot of the schools in the SVC. So give them a call. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 12, and closed on Sunday. Well, Shane, we've had a little surprise here. We, through the modern technology that is available to us, that we spend thousands and thousands of dollars on and have engineers running around all over the place and so forth, we have the one, the only sports editor for the Daily Journal in Kankakee, Illinois, Mr. Derek Webb, joining us via Skype. Derek, long time no talk to.
Long time no talk to you guys. I am. It's good to hear two familiar voices on the phone. I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how much I miss our area and our kids. I still call them our because it's my hometown, and a bunch of good kids here as well over here in Illinois. There's nothing like home. So don't ever let anybody say anything differently.
There's no place like home. I've heard that.
That's
sometimes.
Right.
I've heard that. So it's a pleasure to have you. We are really glad that you are able to join us. We're in the midst of giving out the Sports Zonies, that coveted award that I don't even think you've ever even seen.
I don't think so.
So Shane, I think you knew that this might happen, and I know you've given this some thought, that if Jared was able to join us, which he is. Has been able to do. What all do we want to kind of pick his brain as we have the ability to do?
I think going back real quick, I think the thing that jumps out at me is I still follow you, Derek, on social media, as we try to keep in touch that way with what's going on. And, I'm learning some of the new high school names and starting to become familiar with some of the kids that you cover, because I just appreciate the detail in which you cover games and different events night to night with. And, I guess for me, when I think of those particular things, we do that night to night. Every now and then we come across a story that sticks with us, and I guess that's what we're doing here. And, the one thing I didn't want to maybe step over into your territory on, in case you're able to join us, was I just given out a story of the year, and I talked about how the history of Uniota boys basketball was kind of the thing that jumped out at me. And but we had some Division I signings from Paint Valley, two of them that's really neat. And we talked about it's the SVC expansion that you and I talked so much about. But really, far beyond that, I thought of some of the stories that you had written. I thought of one when you talked about when you talked to the Postage family and how special that was, or there's some other ones. Is there one, or maybe just share the Postage story with us, or if there's one that jumps out at you when you think back, beyond the field or beyond the court, that really hit home with you in terms of you enjoyed writing?
Obviously the Postage story was kind of, as a writer, it's kind of weird, because you get a story like that and you think, that's terrible. Like, that's a sad story. But the writer in you says, I got to write that story. So you're kind of on the fence there with, you got to take your emotional feelings and your personal feelings out of it, write the story. And that's kind of what we did with Abby. Abby Postage, a senior at Adena this year, she had a condition in which her leg muscles, and they didn't, every time they just hurt to walk. Like when she walked around school, when she got out of bed to walk to the bathroom in the morning or whatever it may be, her legs just ached and they hurt. And she overcame that. Not the condition, but she went and ran cross country and finished a couple of races. We talked about the first time she did finish a race and, the jubilation she felt when she crossed that finish line. It was just a magnificent story. We won a Ohio Prep Sports Writers Association award for that story. And, it wasn't because I wrote it. It was because she told it. And Abby was just such a good sport in all of it. I've been through a couple of interviews where, the person you're interviewing, they're talking about an emotional subject and, they may start to cry, and Abby, she held together pretty strong. I can't say the same about Lori. Right. Mom was there, and she got emotional. And of course, when you have a heart, you see that, and you want to reach out to them and give them a hug and say, look, it's fine, it's okay. That has to be at the top of my list this year, as far as telling a story. It ranks in my career right up there with the DeAndre Viney story a couple years back, and the Torrey Bettendorf story from Chillicothe. It's just such a that's why we do what we do, Shane. That we tell that story beyond the box scores or outside the lines, if you would. You really get to know that family, and you get to know kind of not what type of athlete that kid is, but what type of person that kid is. And Abby was just, I mean, she's a phenomenal athlete, and she's an even more phenomenal person. And you know, that was just so special to me to be able to share that story. And honestly, you know, those types of stories are what I miss the most about our coverage area. You just build a bond with those kids. And every time I saw Abby after that, and there was numerous times, she attends the same church I do in Chillicothe at First Westland Church. I mean, I'd see her at church, or I'd see her just at a basketball game her brothers played, and she'd say hi, and I'd say hi, and we would never have a lengthy conversation. But you kind of knew you had that connection. I know your story, and you know I'm right there to support you in any way. And that was the coolest part about that story.
Well, that's awesome, and that's why I wanted you to share that, because I know, you know, when we read it, it goes beyond sports as well. I try to encourage my players to read that story, and I know it's very motivational to me as well to see a kid that has that type of grit and know-how and desire, and really just was very, very motivational. I'll tell you what, Derek, I know I speak for the entire area here. If you're not in a hurry this evening and you're able to hang out with us for a while, I'd love for you to stay on with us here and go down some of the awards here and kind of give your feedback from the year that was here in the Side of Valley Conference.
Absolutely. I'm an hour ahead of you guys, so I've got
All right. Well, Bruce, I say we take advantage of our good friend coming back here with us, and we'll head on down and we'll include him here.
Okay. We are going to move on to the next topic for a Sports Zoney, that being the game of the year. Shane, do you need to set this up a little bit?
Gosh, I do, guys. I tell you, you'll notice on some of these awards, I was able to give you just some brainstorming of, you know, 5, 6, 7 things, or on the one award there, just 2 or 3 that kind of came to mind that I felt like justified it. But man, on this, we watch so many games, Derek, throughout the year. It's crazy. Bruce, we've already talked about in another category on the heartbreak for Piketon. I have to include the Zane Trace 21, Piketon 20 football game, the Uniota 34, Piketon 33. So Piketon's already won a Sports Zoney on the heartbreak of the year for that. But I have to include those in the game of the year. I have to include the 5-set thriller that Derek and I called out in Edina in volleyball, where Uniota defeated Edina, and it looked like at that point in the year the Shermans were going to take a stranglehold on the league. Mm-hmm. But that was a special night. That was Thursday, September 8th, and girls basketball, Southeastern was involved in a couple of them. An OT thriller against Uniota, that was a big one. How about the 3 overtime game, Derek, down there at Waverly? Southeastern 61, Ironton 55, that has to be on there. Oh, goodness. Volleyball-wise, we get into volleyball. Southeastern beating Uniota in volleyball. The Galley Academy Uniota District semifinal, 5 sets. That was a big one. Huntington Piketon, it seemed like every time they got together down there at Waverly, it looked like Huntington's year was over. In fact, gosh, Bruce, I know I'm putting you on the spot here. We have a shout-o-matic back on that one. Do we have that audio?
Sure do. Here we go.
Okay.
Well, we've certainly had a wild one down here at Waverly, but I guess anyone who follows SBC volleyball wouldn't expect anything different. Huntington survives 4 match points, ends up winning 28-26. We are headed to a 5th set. It's a sprint of 15, win by 2, a spot in the Sweet 16 on the line. Stay with me on Shout-O-Matic, and I'll keep you posted.
And again, we had about 7 or 8 of them. I couldn't remember which one I had pegged for you there, but that sounds like it was at the end of the 4th set there. If you remember, Piketon had like 4 straight opportunities to put them away in advance and couldn't do it. I know Ricky McGill was really special in that particular match, and so that was certainly there. Then we moved to the spring, the Paint Valley Westfall softball game, the Paint Valley Piketon softball game. Don't forget about the Adina Union at a baseball game that went 10 innings and then had to come back and get finished at another time. So, yeah, this one I probably have the most on the table, Bruce. But again, I felt like, to be fair to the fans, I wanted to brainstorm out loud, as I said in the inning, at the beginning there. And all of those things kind of came into play for me. So that's kind of where I stand.
All right. Without further ado, the SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for Game of the Year goes to...
Well, guys, for me, I think it's my bias. It's my personal connection to the Uniota over at Dina volleyball match, just because, as I've said for the six-year span here on SVC Sports Talk, the favorite thing I do is when I get with a buddy and I'm able to go live and call a match, and that's what Derek and I had an opportunity to do. Uniota defeated Adina. In fact, you know, Bruce, just to kind of take us back, I think I was back in the somewhere in the 160s of our show there. Do we have that match point?
Sure do.
At first, I thought we had a timeout, but it's just a substitution.
Right. Number six, Jessica Nisey will come back in the ballgame with Taylor Rollins. Looks like what, for defensive purposes?
Well, that, but sometimes it's just breaking the rhythm of the server, just trying to slow the match down. Short serve, Carroll with a pass. It's Poehler, swings on the outside, Eberts on the dig. Fisher steps in and helps her set her, and the outside kill from Abby Weingartner. And Uniota, 16. Adina, 14. As Uniota wins it in five.
I'll tell you what, that is a big... big, I don't know if I can say it enough, big win for Uniota.
Well, you know, Derek, that, like I said, there's probably 10, 15 games that stand out, and I know that sounds like a lot of nominations, but what people don't understand is for people like me and you, you know, 15 is a pretty small percentage when you consider anywhere from 100 to 200 games that we attend. And that's not to mention the other scores that come into us. You know, that one means a lot to me just because we had a chance to call it there. But anything that jumps out at you, maybe about that game or just any other game that you remember as being a game of the year?
For the Uniota Adina volleyball game, I'll never forget. First of all, listen to that call there. I still get goosebumps listening to that just because, you know, we were up in that little crow's nest at Adina, and you. I made it a point to look out the window there and just watch the crowd. I mean, that place was packed. I don't think I've ever seen that many people there for a volleyball game. And, I mean, they were all just going nuts. I mean, you could see the heartbreak. You could see the jubilation on one side. I mean, it was just goosebumps. I've got goosebumps now talking about that moment, and then I had goosebumps listening to that moment. But, you know, honestly, I think the best game that I covered all year long was probably, and you mentioned it, the Southeastern triple overtime against Ironton when.
Yes.
Man, I tell you, that I don't think I've ever covered a game like that one. I was on the wall taking video and taking pictures, and after the first overtime, or when it went into overtime, I mean, Ironton's the freshman from Ironton hit that big, big shot, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then in the first overtime, Ellis Keynes hits a game tire with like 10 seconds left. I'm like, we're going to double overtime. And then it went double overtime. When it goes into triple overtime, I looked at my photographer and I said, I don't know if we're going to hit deadline. And I mean, I don't think I've ever had to say that. You know, during a basketball game before, I just thought, man, like this is a marathon. So in terms of and you know as well as I do, Shane, I'm supposed to stay objective during covering games, you know, such as that one. But I tell you what, it was hard not to root for Southeastern that night. And I may have I could say it now because I don't have a dog in the fight. But, man, there was a couple of fist pumps over there for me. Like, yes, you know. That's probably the best game, honestly, that I may have ever covered. That probably takes a cake for me.
Yeah, well selected. Bruce, I was just looking at that because I know Derek, we're kind of getting him blind here just to give the fans some feedback there. 16-16 after one. Southeastern gives up 26-24. Southeastern's up 39-33. Back comes Ironton. We're tied at 45, then we're tied at 51, then tied at 55. Southeastern wins at 61-55 with Wheeler with 17 and Skeens with 16. But, yeah, what a great game. Certainly can't go wrong with any of those on the list.
Well, that was some good remembrances there of many different games. Boy, you had a slew of them there to pick from, didn't you? Let's go next to the upset of the year. Do we need to preface this one?
Well, basically, this is pretty cut and dry. We're just looking to see some of the different things that maybe we weren't expecting going in, and the upset takes place, and that's what I tried to look back on and remember, and I tried to narrow it down to, you know, three or four here. One that I just added late in the week, it comes this past Friday night, actually, when Paint Valley boys win the SVC track meet. Certainly thought it was a possibility, but when you think of Uniota's enrollment and you think of Uniota's ability, and even Zane Trace for that matter as well, the ability to go start to finish and come out on top for Paint Valley boys, that's insane to me. That's an incredible upset there. In fairness, in terms of tradition of program, I think you'd have to say that the Southeastern win over Paint Valley in football, even though this particular year the teams were a little bit more even on paper, I think Southeastern beating Paint Valley in football is just kind of that could have also been on the game of the year list there. I mean, Paint Valley went up 33-30 with 40 seconds to go, and then Southeastern scores with 16 seconds left. There was some controversy at the end of that game as well. And then in girls basketball, I think Piketon winning over Uniota in overtime. Kara Blanton, that was, Derek, you'll remember, that was the night Kara Blanton grabs 22 rebounds for a school record. So those are some of the ones that that jump out at me. But, yeah, I think if there's probably several more, but I was trying to really narrow it down to there because if I'm being honest here, Bruce, the winner was pretty cut and dry from the word go for me.
All right, we'll get right to it. The SVC Sports Talk Sports Zone for upset of the year goes to
what has to be the Southeastern boys basketball team. It's just it's phenomenal to think, first of all, you can almost talk about the upset just tournament run, you know, when you consider where they had finished in the big scheme of things, and then to watch them go on a tournament run, and they the Oak Hill wins, the one that jumps out at me. Oak Hill jumped out 11-0 in that game, and Southeastern comes back, cuts it to 20-17, then they're tied at 29. Southeastern had 7 turnovers in the first quarter, but only ended the game with 10. And they took their first lead with a minute 50. Looking back at doing my homework this week, Derek, I just thought Lane Ruby really growing into a varsity point guard in that tournament stretch was really special. We knew about Hartman. We knew about the great post play. Southeastern really had good post play through it all. You know, you could even talk about the run itself. Keep in mind, they beat Zane Trace, they beat Lynchburg, they beat Memphard, and then to me, the Oak Hill. So we certainly had some upsets. Sometimes people will disagree on paper. Some people might not say that the Paint Valley boys track team beating Uniota this particular year was an upset, and maybe I'm not even qualified to say in terms of track. But in basketball, there's certainly no getting around the fact that this was a major, major upset, taking down an Oak Hill team that had ideas of advancing to the Sweet 16 and maybe even the Final Four.
All right. Our next category is the team of the year, and this, we say, is boys or girls in any sport.
Yeah, well, this one here, I want to get Derek's take for sure, because I think you know, he covered it all pretty much start to finish. I know with the spring he hasn't been involved as much, but I know he's been keeping one eye back home here. And I guess Derek, to be fair, we don't really have the nominations here as much as we just look back. Wouldn't you agree? We just look back to all the league champions. I think if you're going to have a team of the year, I certainly think it has be a league champion. So I mean, you're talking Zane Trace soccer, that has historical value. Zane Trace football, I know Uniota football, again, with the playoff history, again, I don't know, with them not winning the league, was able to jump into the top three here. Adina volleyball, Piketon golf, Uniota boys girls cross country, Uniota boys basketball, the Southeastern girls basketball, Westfall wrestling, Uniota baseball, Westfall softball, Uniota girls track, and then the PV boys track. And I guess if I had to narrow it down to my top three, Bruce, I would probably look, I guess what I'm looking for is not only the performance it took to win the league, but maybe how, in terms of historical fashion, that they went about doing it, or maybe the success they had outside of the league as they move forward into the postseason. I think I would take a look at Piketon golf. I think I would take a look, as we've already mentioned on one SVC Sports Zoning, the Union at a boys basketball team, and then certainly the Paint Valley boys track team, I guess, would be my final three. And then, if you're ready, I'll go ahead and give my winner.
All right. The SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for the Team of the Year goes to...
has to be, in my opinion, the Paint Valley boys track team. Again, what they've done, I certainly understand what people are saying about this particular year. On paper, Paint Valley had a lot of things that could attack Uniota, and they thought that it was still a possibility. But, you know, I just think that when you look at enrollment, Derek, track is a sport where you would think enrollment would factor in more than ever. You know, a lot of times you would say there's just no way. Yeah, you can have a Jacob Ott perform individually, you know, just the same way an Ellis Gaines or Cammy Chandler or different people might set a record here and there. But for your team to take on a Uniota Zane Trace roster, to me, that's a pretty big deal. And I look down at what Tiger Tessie and Caden Summer and Buster Trent and just some different people were able to give to this team is just incredible. Travis Burton throwing in right there behind Jacob Ott. It's just incredible to me to see the different people. Some role kids like PJ McAllister, Lane Christman, all scoring for Paint Valley as I go down through the list. That's just really, really exciting to me. And so, you know, Derek, when you look back, I mean, man, you covered all of them there from start to finish. Maybe I'm being a little biased there. To me, I just thought that was an incredible accomplishment. Your thoughts on a team of the year, boys or girls?
Well, Shane, I don't think you're being biased at all. The one of the last articles I did right before leaving the Gazette was on Jacob Ott and Travis Burton.
That's right,
and,
yeah.
I asked them straight up. I said, I mean, do you guys think you have a shot to win this year? And they said, absolutely. We think we can win the SVC title. And I'm not going to lie, when I walked away that day, I was like, I don't know about that. I mean,
right.
You know, which I love the kids' confidence, but I mean, when's the last time Paint Valley won a boys track title? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, they had never won, I don't even think they had finished second or third in the time that I was at the Gazette. And so I walked away thinking, I thought, man, I don't know about that. I mean, good luck to them, but I don't know about that. So yeah, that's absolutely a great accomplishment for them, and Jacob and Travis are both awesome kids. I'm glad to see them doing well, and I'm sure we're going to see at least one of them in Columbus. You know, and when I say this, I'm in Illinois, so there'll still be people calling me and telling me I'm biased, but from Chillicothe. But I mean, for me, it's got to be Uniota's boys basketball team, and I think it's not because they won the league. I think it's because of the history that they continued. You know, I don't care what your roster is. When you win 55 consecutive games in any sport, that's impressive. And, you know, there are kids now that are 3-4 years removed out of high school that are a part of that history still.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool the way they ran the table. You know, they played a tough Vinton County team. Bruce, you know that as well as anybody. You know, met their match in the tournament and really should have won that game. I mean, for just how deep their roster was, just how deep, you know, the coaching was. I mean, 55 consecutive games and you know, and that, and obviously just in conference play, not 55 regular season. I mean, that was just impressive to me, and I just thought, man, like, you know, that's one of the more impressive streaks I've ever covered. And you know, you got to think, when you look a little bit ahead, Shane, they could hit 70. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of talent back next year. So say something happens where they do go 14-0 again, that's 69. All they need is one more in 2019-20 season. So I mean, that would be my pick. And like I said, I guess maybe people can't find me as easily to throw things at me. So
no, that's a fair point. I know Bruce will tell you earlier in the show. I talked about that in the storyline. That's certainly remarkable. And can't argue with that. So that's good stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, Shane, you know, I wanted to tell you a story, and this kind of backtracks, but when we talked about the upset of the year. So I covered Southeastern, and Bruce, you'll love this story too. I covered Southeastern and the Lynchburg Clay game. Mm-hmm. And this was a sectional final. Now, first of all, I thought Southeastern would get beat by Zane Trace in the tournament. And that was in sectional semifinal. Then Aaron Benson lifts them with the buzzer beater. So the magic kind of began then. And then against Lynchburg Clay, they were up, you know, they were up all game. Rex Hartman comes out, hits a three to begin things, and I thought, well, that's a good start, but probably the end of the road for Southeastern tonight. At halftime, they're still up, and Shane, you know who Jason Adams is, one of the assistants for Southeastern.
Right.
He comes to me and he says, I said, hey, you know, man, keep it up. Like, this is awesome. You know, keep it up. And he said, man, if we win this game, I'll kiss my sister. And I said, I kind of laughed. Well, after the game, they won. And they're cutting down the nets. I go up to him. I was like, well, I got to find your sister. And he says, he starts laughing. He said, man, I don't even have a sister. I said, well, I'm going to have to pick out a beautiful woman for you then. He said, hey, I'll have no problem with that. And that was kind of the running joke the whole tournament. So when they went out to the convo and they beat Oak Hill and Minford both at the convo, each game I said, hey, I'm out here scouting for you. I'm looking in the crowd. He said, well, that's good luck. So, honestly, if it's not Unionda's boys basketball team, I know this is crazy, but I'd almost consider the Southeastern's boys basketball team.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Well, as we go on, we're going to take a look at our top athletes, guys. And this section, Shane, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, obviously, guys, we even with the special show, don't want to lose sight of the incredible sponsorship from Crown Hill. Give them a call there. I wanted to say this about Crown Hill Golf Club. These guys have really gotten involved and have done some things behind the scenes that maybe they don't get enough credit for, or the way they've stepped in and really helped some of the SBC golf programs and our kids, a lot of the district golfs being held up there and so forth, getting an opportunity to really get involved with some of our youth. And I appreciate that. I would encourage you to give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. Tell them SBC Sports Talk sent you. And, Bruce, I guess our last one here is on our Athletes of the Year. You want me to go right into that?
Sure, just go in. We're going to talk first Male Athlete of the Year, followed by Female, so you can set up the Male Athlete if you'd like.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Derek. Here, the one thing I wanted to mention, guys, on this is I felt like in looking back through the year, the one thing that, you know, we certainly still have some, but we don't have as many of the three-sport athletes as we've had, say, 5 to 10 years ago in the league. So a lot of times you'll start to see someone in a particular sport that's doing incredible, something like, say, a Dylan Swingle comes to mind, okay? But he's more of a one-sport athlete. Jacob Ott, we just mentioned what he's doing in track, and his resume is still not done. Darby Pillow was one that came to mind in terms of, he played like 17 sports this year, you know, in terms of, you know, going out and doing all sorts of things in the fall, winter, and spring, and what he's accomplished. And then if you want to look at it from an athleticism standpoint, and you consider football and you consider the basketball role, and then into the spring sport, you might look at it like an Edler or a Trey Ivey in terms of his athleticism. Mm-hmm. He's certainly one for as well. So, I guess it'll be interesting to get other people's views on this, but I'll go ahead and make my selection here, Bruce.
All right. As we move along, the SVC Sports Talk Sport Zoney for Male Athlete of the Year goes to...
I'm going to go ahead and maybe surprise people a little bit here. I'm going to go just more on pure athleticism and go with Trey Ivey. What he's done and a part of a record-setting year in football for Uniota, then what he was a part of the basketball team, and then when you look individually into track, what he's showing here in the Ross County and then in the SVC meet, just completely individually dominating. I know in the Ross County meet, he set a new meet record there with the 10.8 and 100. He anchored the winning team in the 400. He finished first in the 200, first in the long jump, and he pretty much repeated that performance and winning medalist there in the SVC meet. So I'm just going to look at it from an athletic standpoint and go Trey Ivey there on the boys' side. And Clay Edler certainly on the radar, and maybe Jacob Ott still getting to put his Derek, feel free to make a selection there if you want. But the one thing I wanted to get your take on is I know you had covered a lot of Darby Pillow. I wanted you to maybe highlight the amazing participation that he's involved in, let alone the high level he does it at.
I looked at Darby one of the last times I covered him before he left. Said, "Man, I don't know how you do it. You know, there's just so much that you have to do." I said, "What's a regular day look like to you?" And this was off the record. We weren't doing a story. I was just, you know, honestly curious. And I said, and he said, "Well, I wake up at, you know, like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I go run. I go to school. I go to practice. I go run again." And I'm like, you know, when do you have time to sleep? I mean, you know, but I mean, he's fun to watch in every sport he plays. You know, some things that jump out to me is he was on that SEC winning soccer team, first ever. Right. At the same time, he ran cross country. At the same time, he was a wide receiver on the football team. So, you know, just three sports there
at one time.
You know, and the coaches, yeah, one time, one season, and the coaches are, you know, they're smart enough to know, okay, you know what, Darby, just show up when you can, because we know that you're that athletic that, you know, even if you don't come to a practice, we know you're working on something else, and you're still going to help our team. So, you know, that was during spring. He suffers a little setback with an injury, which, I mean, who wouldn't push themselves that much in basketball season? And but he still was in the top two in scoring, I remember. And then, of course, like you kind of said earlier, Shane, I hadn't been able to be there that much for the spring, but I kind of keep an eye, like you said, keep an eye out, you know, the back of my head, I guess. And, you know, I still see his name everywhere. So, but again, just kind of like Abby Postage, my favorite thing about Darby Pillow is the type of kid that he is. I mean, this kid's a top-tier athlete. He's elite in almost every sport that he participates in. And you won't hear a word from him about it. Every time you interview him, he wants to talk about his teammates. And, you know, that just kind of if I had a tie for the athlete of the year, mm-hmm. that attribute of Darby's would push him over the edge.
So. Sure. Well, and I thought that was good, Bruce, because I knew Derek would be able to really talk about that, you know, certainly with Edler and Ivy. And, you know, you have Dawson's a three-sport athlete, a Smith's a three-sport athlete. You know, there's certainly the three-sport athletes still out there. Just to me, that's kind of where I looked at it there. And then on the female side, certainly a lot more kids involved here. I guess, again, if you start just talking pure athleticism, you start to talk Cammie Chandler, you talk Ella Skeens, Audrey Wheeler, Ricky McGill, Mitten, in terms of what she did across the board. Maybe not quite winning this year, but someone to keep in mind for the future. When you look at Hallie Pinkerton, a freshman there at Uniota, with the way she's come on the scene in volleyball and softball, and she looks to be growing into a varsity role here in the near future and basketball. You know, her teammate in those sports, Josie Fisher, would be another one. We know what Michaela Newland, Becca Brown have done. Ashton Ward seems to be a kid that's been solid across the board. So the female probably gives you more of a widespread. Here is probably I would narrow this down to Ricky McGill, Cammie Chandler, and Ella Skeens. And to be honest, Bruce, this is probably is about as difficult a selection as I'll make all night.
All right. We'll go to the SVC Sports Talk Sports Zoney for the Female Athlete of the Year. It goes to,
I'm going to go with Ricky McGill. I just think that, you know, I certainly think with what Ella Skeens does with track and basketball and volleyball, and she's even started to play some softball this year. I just think with Ricky across the board, she performed at a Player of the Year level in volleyball. I know that was quite a debate. She was there. She certainly has performed, if not for two of the best softball players that we've had in our league, arguably in the last 10 years, along maybe with like a Morgan Geno and so forth. She's certainly a top five softball player. Keep in mind, in basketball, she led the league in assists, taking over a position that she's never even played before, but just as an athlete and as a competitor, she did that. So, you know, how in the world would I argue if we were going to go just on athleticism? I know I'm kind of contradicting myself from the male side here. If we were going to go just athleticism, Cammie Chandler and Ella Skeens are probably better athletes, but I think if I look at it from across the board here, I think Ricky McGill's had a Huntington Hall of Fame type of career and has really contributed across the board. So by far the toughest one. Remember how we started the show, Bruce, mm-hmm. saying sometimes co makes
right.
sense?
Right.
Here maybe try makes sense because you're talking about three really special athletes.
Well, Shane and Derek, we'll move into our post-game comments. This section brought to you again by C&K Athletic Equipment. They are your local source for local school apparel. You'll find sports accessories, sports equipment, headgear, and all kinds of fitness gear up there at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. Give them a call. Tell them the boys from SVC Sports Zone sent you, and we do appreciate their sponsorship. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12, and closed on Sunday. And before I get into the actual last category here that we're going to award, Shane, I thought it appropriate that we remind people, since this is the last episode, that your email box does not close during the off season. It's always open, and you can email Shane with any of your ideas, your comments, your complaints, anything. You know, you can give him recipes if you'd like at admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can also contact him through Facebook, and you can of course follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. And I will give once again a plug to my friend Derek Webb, who, if I have not forgotten, Derek, and this is by memory, it's at DW1509 on Twitter if they want to follow what's going on in Kankakee, Illinois. Is that correct?
You are all over it.
Okay. Well, some things you have to say after, 30 episodes or something, you remember these things. So you can always follow him out there. I'm like Shane. I still follow you, and I am really – I'm waiting for some Bears coverage. I saw that you made it to the White Sox and the Cubbies, I believe. Uh-huh. It's going to be amazing to watch.
Reds are in town this weekend, so I'll be going to see the Reds at Wrigley this week.
Who are you rooting for, though?
Oh, I'm definitely rooting for the Reds.
Yeah, there you go.
I wear my Reds apparel, Bengals apparel, still around here. I get some crazy looks, but that's okay. You know, I'll be a diehard Reds fan until the day I die.
He's representing up there.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, Bruce. I do want to say that a couple times I've been back home, or I've met my mom and dad in Indianapolis for dinner. If anybody knows me, they know I don't like to drive that much. I kind of shy away from it. I get a little bit of anxious. I have anxiety when I drive. And you and Shane, it seems like almost every time that I've met mom and dad or I've went home, it's on a Friday or it's on a Monday when I always turn on the SVC Sports Talk and kind of get my mind off driving. I listen to you guys. So I have been keeping up with the whole season solely by you with you and Shane. If you're getting a little dot on your radar somewhere in Illinois, it's probably me.
Okay. So. Well, I have to look for that. And I'm glad that we can soothe the savage beast that is Derek Webb as he drives all around the Midwest.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's move into our last final award here. We have one more, and that's what Shane calls the team to watch in 2017-2018, Shane.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess I know some people are probably thinking that I had forgotten about Sylvia Gray in the Uniota tennis team. I think to me, now that they've established a little bit more of the competition beyond Sylvia, I'm anxious to see how that grows. I'm anxious to see her grow as an athlete. What a special performance she had. I think that's a team to watch. I think in volleyball, Adina's always going to put it together and figure it out, but it's hard not to really look at this Uniota volleyball team coming back. How does Southeastern Piketon close the gap on Huntington with McGill graduating? That'll be an interesting thing in volleyball and football. When you look at what Zane Trace and Uniota is doing with their enrollment and the way their numbers have continued to climb, can some of these other programs start to surge? Obviously, we've talked about Uniota boys basketball. That's hard not to look at. Southeastern girls basketball, the same. Uniota girls, I know, is ready to make a push. And then as we go into the spring, more of the same. Uniota returns three solid arms back of a league championship team. And then who will come to the front in terms of softball with Newland and Brown graduating. That'll be an interesting take to see if this young Uniota team kind of reemerges as a league favorite. So I guess across the board, that's probably where you start to look in 2017-2018, Bruce.
All right. Our final award, the SVC Sports Talk Sports Zony for Team to Watch in the 2017-2018 season goes to...
Well, I think the obvious answer here, if I'm really giving away a true award, has to be Uniota boys basketball, as we've said in other categories. Here, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go a little bit more for just my personal eye in terms of what I'm really intrigued by. And I'm really intrigued by our volleyball league. People listen to the show know that arguably my favorite sport to watch and break down is volleyball in this league. Now, my biased opinion is baseball top to bottom is the best conference. I think our volleyball league into the top four or five teams is as good as it gets because of how it compares to the rest of Southeast Ohio. And I think that I'm really intrigued by Uniota volleyball and how some of these other teams are going to be able to try to keep them from that top spot. So I really look forward to that. And you know, Derek, I guess on a final thought, I really appreciate you coming back on. I know that our league and our area and coverage is going through some transitions here in the last 3 to 4 years. I know our website's going to try to incorporate some different things when possible, but I guess if we were just to give you one final platform here, just to kind of to say something to the SVC fans, what would that be, and maybe a message to the athletes?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, absolutely. I wouldn't be in the position I am today here in Illinois if it weren't for those SVC fans. You know, I don't, you know, when I read back some of the things I write or even read back some of the stories that really did well in Chillicothe, you know, I critique it myself. And I'm like, man, that's terrible. Like, I wouldn't read that. And, you know, if it weren't for, you know, those fans and, you know, the relationships that I built with them, you know, I wouldn't be here in Illinois as a sports editor. I've got more control here over the sports section. It's a kind of a family-owned newspaper instead of Gannett. You know, I can do more. And I just wish that if when I were in Chillicothe, I could have done what I'm doing here, because that's the covers that those kids deserve. We have a Saturday edition that's 44 pages long. That's our newspaper on Saturday. It's 44 pages. 12 of those are sports, and 11 this week were local. The only wire page or, like, you know, Reds or Bengals coverage in Chillicothe was page 12 here, and that was Cubs and White Sox. The rest was features, Q&As, you know, game stories, whatever, all local. And I just wish that you know, our local kids could have that same type of coverage. And you know, maybe hopefully one day that happens. But until then, you know, I mean, for the SVC fans, you know, kind of stick with your local newspaper. A lot of the things that are going on there are not the journalists' their fault. They're more of the corporation's fault. And I can say that now because I'm not employed by them. but seriously, I mean, you know, there's a lot of good people there, and that newsroom continues to dwindle down, not because of their own choice. You know, just support it as much as you can. And, you know, as soon as they bring somebody else in there, you know, let them know exactly what you want in terms of coverage. And, you know, hopefully that guy or girl will give it to them. And to the kids, I mean, I miss them every day. I really do. That's not a lie. You know, I was covering my first – we have girls soccer here in the spring in Illinois. So I covered my first girls soccer game. That was the first event I cover here at all. And, you know, that night before I went to the game, I tweeted out my first sports tweet in Illinois was to local kids in Chillicothe. And I said, you know, I'm going to cover girls soccer tonight, and I can't help but wish that Jayla Campbell, Callie Mitten, and Peyton Davis weren't the ones I was covering. And it's still true to this day. I mean, every time I go to see softball, I wish it was Michaela Newland. Every time I go see baseball, I wish it was Clay Edler, or, you know, or whoever. So, you know, to those kids, I mean, obviously they've always got a supporter in their corner. If they ever need anything, they know how to reach me. And, you know, I'm always rooting for them, even two states away. So,
Well, outstanding. I definitely wanted to give you that opportunity because I know there's a lot of people that still ask me about you. So with us having the privilege of having you on tonight, I wanted to give you that. I wanted to thank you for adding to SVC Sports Talk all year as we come to the end of season six. Bruce, I thank you a bunch. You know, we've been doing this from start to finish here together. Appreciate all the hours here. Certainly don't want to cut you off, Bruce. Any final thoughts here before we wrap up season six?
No, I too want to thank Derek for making himself available tonight to do this. We didn't know whether it was going to come together, but it finally did, and we do appreciate that he's we're going to have to send you a new clock, one clock you can keep on Eastern, one on Central. Because he was a little late late to the party, but we'll excuse him. But we do appreciate everything. I know you are missed, Derek, very badly in the Ross County area in southeastern Ohio. I think you did. You did a great job covering SVC and Chillicothe, and you are missed. You're a hard act to follow, and I feel for whomever they find. You and Brock Netter are missed desperately, and I'm not even in that area necessarily. I'm over in Vinton County, obviously, but everyone misses you. We miss you, and we do thank you for keeping us in your kind of radar scope as well.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's I just hope that they bring somebody in there that does that for the kids, because that's what they deserve. So it was never about me when I was in Chillicothe, and it's not about me when I'm in Illinois.
Well, that's what we miss. That's what we miss.
Absolutely.
And Shane, so, I'd like to thank you again. We've been doing this for years now, and I just feel like you've got the kids' best interest at heart, and that's what it's been from August of whatever it was, 2012, whenever we started, I can't recall, 2011. But you always had the kids' best interest at heart, and that continues to be the case. And so that's why we keep doing this.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that's why you and I get along so well. Sir Brock Netter, Derek Webb, that's why we get it, is because that's the concept behind it all. So guys, I tell you what, for the final time here in season six, I say until next time for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website. For Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb and Ken Kinney, or however you say it, with the trains and all out there in Illinois. This is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.